Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Ren Baker is the director of athletics at the University of North Texas. Hey, the vice president of the university with that specialization in athletics. Mr. Baker, thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Well, it's always good to join you, John. I've always enjoyed visiting with you. I hate that it's been so long since we got a chance to see each other in person, but it's good to hear your voice.
Man, it has been way too long, and hopefully it won't be too much longer. But like everyone, athletics at universities, they've been being very cautious through this whole COVID-19 ordeal to make sure they're making the right steps at the right time. Most recently, University of North Texas said that some activities could potentially begin start of next week. What are you going to allow to have happen June 8th?
Really next week will just be kind of a reopening of our facility. So during this time, we've treated our facilities, you know, the way that your weight room or your doctor's office would have probably been for the listeners out there. So we haven't let people in unless you had a catastrophic injury and we were doing rehab or something like that. But we have not. Our weight room is closed and our training room is closed for anything other than, you know, absolutely necessary procedures, and those have to be scheduled in advance and all those things. And so we're taking a step now to open those facilities up. And really, it just allows the student athletes to do voluntary workouts. We have a lot of kids, particularly football, men and women's basketball, that are in summer school. And most of the time, even though there's rules that legislate what you can require them to do in the summer, they do a lot of voluntary stuff because, you know, their athletics piece is a big part of their life. And so we've made the decision now to open up those facilities and allow them to come back in our facilities with some requirements and some procedures and processes that we hope will eliminate the spread of COVID-19.
What have the last few months been like as you've tried to learn more, as much as you can, about the disease, its impact, and what might potentially happen if, you know, there was an outbreak in an athletic department or something like that? How much has been about education, and then how much about planning?
I'll say this first. It's certainly, just like it has been for people at home, it's been surreal. Because, like, you just, you know, as a country, we've been so blessed and so lucky, even though we've had outbreaks of things in the past, nothing that escalated to, you know, at least in our lifetimes, that escalated to this. And so it's been one of those where we spent a lot of time just trying to process it, because nothing like this has happened to us. And after the initial shock wears off, which that shock lasts for several days, because you kind of wake up thinking, today will be better, and for many days it ended up looking worse and worse. And so, but then you really rally your team and your staff and your department, assure them that we're going to monitor everything and we've got their safety in mind, and we don't know when and where, but eventually we're going to get back to what was our normal life. From there, you study and learn everything you can. And we actually divided into some different subcommittees to kind of look at different things, looking at the attendance at stadiums, looking at the return of student athletes to workouts, you know, looking at the protocols that we put in for how many people do we allow into a 7,000 square feet weight room and that kind of stuff. And so you know, really that's where a lot of the work has been done, is by our subcommittees that ultimately make recommendations up to our athletics executive committee, which makes recommendations to campus, and campus has to approve everything. So it's been a lot of work, and we still have a lot of work ahead of us, but the folks that work in our athletic department have done a masterful job of plugging through it and making sure that we were getting the best process we could have in place. And I think anybody who says with a straight face that they have a perfect plan right now doesn't really understand probably how much liability and issues that there could be. But I think we have a really good plan, and it's the best plan for us. And we're excited to start to let student athletes come back.
What's potentially the next stage in the plan if things go well here early on?
We're bringing back this Wednesday some of our fall sport coaches. And then starting next week on Monday the 8th, we'll start to bring waves of football back. They're actually going to come back in four separate groups throughout the month of June. Provided that goes good, then we'll allow the rest of the sports to come back right after the 4th of July. You know, some of our sports, most of the players are here in the summer. Most of the student athletes are here in the summer, and we'll work out. And some are more limited. A lot of them maybe have a summer job or summer internship or something like that. And so, yeah, we hope throughout the month of July to kind of be able to take that volume of numbers back and get back to what a lot of people are calling the new normal. It won't be the same. We're doing some temperature screenings when people come in, and some social distancing in all the facilities. But I think this plan will allow us to look fairly normal in terms of just student athletes returning in throughout the month of July.
How important is it to an athletic department for football to be played? I've seen you quoted on this. I've seen many others quoted on this. We've got to put out the caveat. Everybody has to be healthy. It's got to be safe. At the same time, financially, for a university, for an athletic department, how important is it to have a football season?
Well, it's certainly important, but it's not going to override health and safety. It's important because it is an important part of our campus community. Our students pay a fee to support the athletic program because of their enjoyment of athletics, but also because of what it brings to the campus community, the way that it allows us to promote the university. We certainly have a tremendous amount of dedicated fans and season ticket holders. It gives them a chance to connect with their school, to stay engaged. For so many reasons, it's important. The financial piece is important, but it's different for different schools. If we didn't have a football season, certainly that would be detrimental. We'd have to go through some difficult financial times. But we're not as reliant on purely football revenues as most Power Five schools are, where three-fourths of their budgets may come from it because of those huge TV contracts. And so, you know, it's a different pinch point for different people. You know, it is important that we play, and we're focused on making sure that we get not just football, but all of our sports seasons in. The young people in our programs, it's a huge part of their life. They've dedicated a substantial amount of their entire lives. And you know that, John, because you've done some play-by-play for us. It's a big part of who they are and what they do. And so it's important for them. I think it's important for all of our campus communities out there and the communities at large. Sports has throughout society been a place where people go to get relief. You know, it's why people who maybe are supervisors at their job and have to handle every day with kind of an emotionless, you know, all the referees or whoever. So it's a great release. It's going to be, it's a big morale boost. And, I think it'll be a symbol, to people that, hey, yeah, this was tough and it affected all of us. And, but we have improvised it, adapted, and overcome, and we're all going to get together and do something we really love. So we don't know what game days will look like in September yet, but I'm confident that we can figure out a way to get these games in and it be safe for the student athletes, safe for our coaches and staff, and safe for the fans. So that's where our energy is right now.
And it's a different type of energy. I was just thinking about that. You know, a lot of times during this time of the season, you're really fired up about, hey, we got to get season tickets sold, or we got to get fundraising, or, you know, whatever staffing situation that you've got to handle during the off season to get ready for the fall in all sports. But this has just been a different challenge for athletic departments. And you talked about it early, but how draining is that personally, just to try to jump through some new mental hurdles when you've been, you know, used to a difficult job before, but now it's this difficult job that has such a different dynamic to it?
Yes, it's definitely been difficult because, listen, you know, because you're around athletic departments, there's a lot of stressful jobs in departments. You know, the coaches have a lot of stress. The, you know, staff has a lot of stress. But this has been so different because it's just such a prolonged time of unknowns. And so what you have to do when you have a prolonged time of unknown is plan for an infinite amount of scenarios. So, I mean, we've literally, you know, our budget process, we're in the upper 30s, 38, 39 million from a budget standpoint. So when you're talking about that kind of annual budget, there's a lot that goes into it normally. Now multiply that probably tenfold. We've probably looked at 10 different budget scenarios based on, do we play, do we not play, do we play it? Shorter season? Do we play, you know, a season that's broken into two parts, you know? And so there's all of those different scenarios, but each one of those has a budget impact. And there'd be some kind of budget impact you'd be guessing at. Even if we play normal and there's no state and there's no crowd restrictions, this is going to affect, you know, our bottom line, because a lot of our season ticket holders are hurting. Their income got hurt through this, with unemployment being what it is. So you have the budget piece, and you have the returning players piece, and then you have a fans in the stands piece. And we're modeling all the way from 20% to full capacity. We're modeling, hey, what do we do to help people feel safe here? And we don't know where that number is going to end yet. You know, we don't know where it's going to be come September. And so we're really, you know, you have to plan for just an infinite amount of scenarios. So I've really encouraged our staff, you know, the strength in having different people that are looking at all of these different options is you're not relying on just one. So last week when we were on the phone, I said everybody needs to find time to take a vacation, because while we may not be in the office 12 hours a day, we're probably working longer. You know, when you work from home, and I'm sure you saw this, what looks like a work day, it changes because, you know, your office has changed. And so it is exhausting, but we're not in this alone. Every athletic department is in it. The university is in it, but so are so many of your listeners who are in different fields. You know, we've all had to make so many adjustments and so many plans. And, you know, I just know, we got a lot of smart people looking at this. We're a resilient country. We've been through a lot of things. You know, we're going to get through it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.